Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, all my listeners out there in Radio Land? It is time yet again for another thrilling, exciting installment of, you guessed it, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, coming at you live each and every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's on LA Talk Radio, Channel 1, iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos, Google Play, and we are also syndicated on all Amazon Alexa devices. And I'm working on XM Sirius Radio. I'm coming for you, Sirius. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. So make it sound like it's a real person. This has been produced by Get Real Global Entertainment, LLC. I don't know who those people fucking are, but they sound like really nice people. Sound like I got a handbook here going, what are you talking about? Anyways, this is your hostess with the mostest, Jennifer DeVoe. And I guess I'll bring on my co-host, business partner, and as everybody knows now, by now, the joke is around. I also say, also known as the husband, James Muse. What up, JJ?
Happy Valentine's Day, bitches.
Yes, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
It is a special Valentine's Day edition of Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. And we're here having lots of fun. And we have a very special guest in the studio with us today. Two very special guests, actually.
Yeah.
Our wonderful friend and publicist and all kinds of many different things. She's roundabout entrepreneur of Black Chateau Enterprises. Is that what it is? Enterprises?
Yeah.
Enterprises. Desiree Duffy.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes. If you remember her from last time when we were the author, Sean Patrick Traver. Desiree was in the house with us at the time.
I was.
So we always love her bringing awesome authors to our studio. So that's always a blessing. We like it. And we are here with, Andrea.
Yes.
I said, oh, good. I said it right.
That's perfect.
Andrea Billig is in the house with us today. She is author of I Choose Love, A Journey from Fear to Love. We like it. And you're also a founder of the Project of Love?
Yeah, the Project of Love is
Project of Love.
It's part of the platform that supports the book.
Okay, awesome.
Oh, good.
We like that. We like platforms. And not just a shoe type. Anyway, 70s, I'm sorry. Bad humor. I forget sometimes it's 2018. I was about to say 2017.
Oops.
It's 2018. Anyway, we're having too much fun here already. Let's see. Let's talk about this book. I like this. I like the title, I Choose Love. So what started you on the path to writing this book? And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, actually, it was part of what started me writing the book. It was also my first trip to Southern California 3 years ago. I feel like I'm 2017 too, but that was in 2015. And that was, for me, it was a pivotal year. And it was in a year where there was a lot of violence in the world. There was terror attacks in Paris. There were unhappy events in Orlando. I just those events triggered in me this idea to write a book, because I realized that there is a lot of too much fear in the world.
Right.
That humankind is kind of governed by fear, and the only way to stop that and to make the world a better place is to replace fear with love. Because when we are in a fearful state of mind, we cannot feel love anymore, and we forget actually that we are love. And
wow.
I felt that's my mission, actually, because I think every one of us is born with a gift, is born with a mission,
right,
in this world. And that was my mission, to spread the love. And actually, the bigger vision is to turn as many people as possible into love ambassadors.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you don't have to preach it. You just have to live it. And the moment that someone leaves from a space of love, then the people around that person feel, and then that's a contribution to the energy field, the universal energy field, and that helps things change.
Right.
Wow.
I like that.
That's a good philosophy.
Yes, very good concept.
I kind of think like that too. You know, that's why I try to be kind of cheerful and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, life's too short to be grumpy
and bitter.
And bitter.
Yeah. And it has to do with my spiritual journey. I started like 9 years ago. Oh. I've done a lot of research, a lot of reading, a lot of inner research and healing too. And I realized that love is something that we are, but we need to remember that, because since our childhood we are conditioned to believe otherwise. We, although our parents, most of the parents, they do the best they can, they kind of teach us conditional love in a way that they say, okay, if you get good grades in school, then you're going to get a reward, or mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to do that, you're going to upset me. So, or if we are let's say excited about something, or you know, we do certain things, then they tend to, oh no, you need to behave yourself. So we learn that we cannot be ourselves. We need to put on a mask, or we need to do certain things to be loved.
Wow.
And that's something we need to unlearn.
Yeah.
That's very true. Very, very true.
Like unconditional, just unconditional love. Wow.
That'd be nice if everybody felt that way.
Yeah.
And then today, since it's Valentine's Day, I think that's a celebration for all of us, even for people who are single, who are not in a relationship, because the most important relationship you have is the relationship with the source, God or whatever you call it, with the universe, and then part of it is the relationship with yourself. So this morning I had a look in the mirror and I said, okay, I love you, I accept you, and I'm grateful that you are here. So if you forget to do that every day, today it's a good day to do it. And if you're at the office right now, or wherever you're listening, and even in the car, just have a look in the mirror and just give yourself some love.
Well, that would be nice if more people told themselves that they're worth something.
Yes,
or that they
definitely
love themselves. Mm-hmm. Or because they always say that you can't love others until you love yourself first. Because if you don't fully have love in your heart and respect yourself and love yourself, then how can you feel that way about others? You know, and that's where a lot of these people get lost. You know what I mean? They weren't taught the right way, or they weren't shown that same thing from their parents, or came from an abusive home or abusive relationships or whatever. So they maybe at one point they knew how to do that, but they lost the ability. Or, I mean, there's a lot of different factors in it.
It didn't seem like it might lead to destructive behaviors also if they don't love themselves, you know?
Right.
Drug use and things like that. Alcoholism, you know, just all kind of abuses to their bodies.
I think the lack of self-love leads to a lack of harmony. And I think that people who are aggressive, either in a, you know, a physical way or just with words, or they are the most unhappy people in the world, and they need our love and acceptance the most. And I started on my Instagram account a series of video posts, and the message is love who you are, love what you do, love your life. Because love is not about loving yourself or the other or other people, but also loving what you're doing. And I think that's what makes Desiree so great at what she's doing, because you can feel the love she puts in her actions when she's working with other authors.
Right.
I mean, she's doing it from a place of love, because she loves what she's doing. She loves those authors. She loves their work, and this helps her to be successful.
Wow.
And that's, I think too, good. If I might, since you brought me into the conversation, I will add that I think that, you know, you're hitting on the thing that really pulls a lot of people down, and it just creates this overarching feeling within the United States, within the world, within your workplace, within your home life, where when you don't accept yourself and you're bitter and angry and you resent other people for having what you think you should have or what you think you deserve, that's where we have, you know, a lot of the situations that we do. There's no reason, for example, for somebody to hate another individual based on the color of their skin, right, their religion, yada,
sexual
yada.
Exactly. Whatever, yeah.
But yet people will do that because there's something inside of themselves that they need to reconcile with.
Right.
Very true.
You know, they got their internal anger issues and they want to put it out for everyone else, you know. I don't know. I kind of was like that when I was younger, but now it's like, no, it's not even, you know. I love myself. I love my life. I love my wife. It's, you know, it's just, you know, now it's better for me, you know. When I go around people and I hope they see how I'm feeling about myself and my situation, I hope it rubs off on other people.
Right. I think it does. I know the first time I met, well, both of you, like, you were just so positive and happy and accepting, and it just makes not only the interviews, but just, you know, hanging out and talking just so much more enjoyable.
Right.
You know, and again, I think Andrea is really onto something. That's where it starts. So many people want to try to solve the problem where it's already manifested and gone so far. Whereas if you go to the core, each individual finds a way to love themselves, then they're not going to be striking out and find so much negativity in others, so much blame. I see so much blame. Let's blame the poor people. The poor people are the, you know, that's what the problem in this country. That's not the problem. You know, there are factions, classes within our society that just want to lash out because whether somebody is telling them that's the case or they're misinformed or, again, they see something within themselves that they feel that person has something that is taken away from them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Understood.
Very true. There's too much hatred in the world and it just needs to stop. Because at this point, almost everybody's mixed race anyway. So there's really, come on now.
Yeah,
I'm a mutt myself. A bunch of different stuff, including you? Native American. There's a bunch of stuff in there.
I mean, I told you my story, right?
There's no point.
My great aunt's funeral. I went up to Northern California for her funeral, and my cousin's like, "You see that picture over there?" I say, "Yeah." "You see that white guy on the picture?" I say, "He's the only guy, white person on the picture." He's like, "That's your great granddaddy. That's Grandma B's daddy." I'm like, "Huh?" It's like, "Yeah." "And you see that real black lady?" He's like, "Yeah, that's her mama." It's like complete polar opposites. She's about the color Nisha.
Yeah.
My great grandmother was about the color Nisha. Yeah.
My daughter Nisha. That's interesting. That's what I'm saying. So you never know where life is going to take you.
Why going around and hating everybody, and you come to find out you probably part of that same race? That
most African Americans are now.
What?
Mixed race.
Oh yeah.
They were mixed with something along the way, whether it's Native American or Caucasian or whatever. Most of you guys are mixed race at this point. So just get the fuck over it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I am.
I love everybody. I don't give a rat's ass what you prefer in life. I don't care what your sexual preference is.
You don't hurt nobody. We're good.
As long as you ain't out there hurting people, especially children and old people and whatever.
And animals.
Yeah, and animals. Oh, God,
oh,
yes.
No.
Oh, I would. Oh, yeah. I mess a person up for that one. Children and animals and old people. Those are my three big pet peeves in life. You don't mess with them. I don't know. I just don't like bullies. I don't like, people like Donald Trump. Anyway, I didn't say that. I have no idea. I disavow all knowledge of said doings. So,
the opinions just expressed was that of Jennifer DuBois Muse.
Exactly. Yes, it was. And I take full.
Well, her husband also, because I don't really like the guy either.
Yeah, pretty much. But anyway, I just don't like people who go around and spread hate. You know, I mean, come on. His father was part of the KKK. He was one of the Grand Wizards or something. He was like somebody big. Yeah, so you just, oh, but I'm not racist. Whatever. Sure you're not. But that's why he wants to get rid of all the Mexicans and all the Arabs. What was that one he said? The crappy, come from crappy countries.
Yeah. Shithole.
How do you say it? Shithole countries.
Yeah. All the countries said,
why couldn't we get people that aren't from shithole countries or something? Like, because there were people from like Africa, different African countries.
Brown countries. People were brown people.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. But okay, why couldn't we get some more Swedish people up in this? You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, really?
They don't want to come here.
No, they got better health care.
They have really beautiful country, great herring. I don't know.
They got better schools also.
They got herring. Everybody's like, what the herring? Hell is a herring?
That's a fish.
Okay, so, no, I know what it is, but I'm just being funny. Okay, I've had people ask me that. What the fuck is a herring? You know, it's one of them fish. I never had it before, but it's a fish.
What was that? Was that from, remember we was watching something, was that Tosh.0, and they had that fish from in that can, and this was the worst smell of food?
Oh, yeah.
Was that from there?
Yeah, it was nasty.
Yeah, it looked nasty.
but I agree with you guys on that, though, that people shouldn't be hating like that.
Yeah.
It's not the way to go.
Life is too short to hate like that.
And if we're gonna make any progress in the world, especially here in the United States, we've got to change our way of thinking and not keep doing this, because it's just going to end up, it's going to end up eating us alive. We're not going to be able to get out from underneath all the garbage that we've piled on top of ourselves, because we're just want to keep being, you know, hated, you know, hating people. Hating for people from other countries, hating people because of their hair color, their eye color. I get hated on because I'm blonde. I get hated on. Whatever.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Oh, please, dude. I used to work on construction crews and road construction, roofing, building construction, demolition, you name it. I've done major male-oriented jobs.
You've done jobs I've never done.
Including factory work. I've worked in a lot of friggin' factories.
Jeez Louise.
I'm from Maine. We're not a bunch of pussies. Anyway.
Oh, geez. I've done more manly jobs than I've done flowers at the flower shop.
I've done more manly jobs than most men on the fucking planet. You have. Especially more than Donald Trump. Anyway.
Tell us how you really feel about Donald Trump.
But anyway, I really don't like that man.
Bumbleclod, man.
Really don't like that man. And I'm not saying hatred. Like, I just wish he would stop being like that. If he was didn't act the way he acts, then people wouldn't dislike him so much. You know what I mean? I don't hate him.
But he alienates everyone.
Yeah. I don't hate him. I just dislike what he does. I just dislike his policies and the way he thinks. If he could just come around, you know what I mean? And I hate to say that. It's like that, what's the movie? The Christmas movie.
Scrooge, whatever.
Yeah, where the three, you know, ghosts come and all that, and they like teach him a lesson. You know what I mean? To like show him that the world isn't as horrible, maybe, of a place as he thinks, and there are still good people and good stuff going on, and that life isn't so morbid and horrible. That maybe F off. Anyway. Told the next person who called. What did I say that a couple weeks ago? The next person who calls me while I'm during a broadcast.
I'm gonna call them up and cuss them out.
No.
Not now. After the show.
I'm going to find out where they live and cut their nuts off.
What if they have a vagina?
Well, then they have no nuts and I don't have anything to cut off. I'll cut off something else. Some tits. No. What if they don't have any tits? I know. I'm sorry. I don't know where to go with that. I can't help. Can't help you on that subject.
No.
Anyway, I just wish that certain people in the world would change their way of thinking, because it's not progressive. It's not going to get us anywhere as a country. It's not going to get us anywhere as a people.
At all.
And I mean this for everybody around the world. Everybody. It's not going to get you anywhere to think that way. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, karma is a mean fat cunt on wheels, and she will mow you down every time. So if you put out hatred and bad stuff into the world, it's going to come back on you three times over, because that's what karma does. You do bad things, you put out bad vibes, bad energy, whatever in the world, it's going to come back to haunt you. It will come back and hit you right where you live, and you're not going to like it. It is what it is.
And I think that's kind of the point of the book, is you can choose fear or you can choose love.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's for sure. And yeah, it's about law of attraction. But before that, there are a couple of universal laws that govern everything that happens in the universe. And there's the law of oneness. And I think one of the reasons why people, they feel hate is that because they were taught that we are separate. When we are not separate, there is one universal energy field, so we are all connected. So when we are doing something that's hurtful, we are actually hurting ourselves. And everything is vibrational. Everything vibrates on a certain frequency. So we attract things and people that are on the same vibration. So when we raise our vibration to love and joy and compassion, then what we attract in our life matches this vibration. And those people who used to be annoying with us, they change their behavior or they disappear from our life. And suddenly everything starts to flow and we are in a inspired state of living. And to achieve that, I think one way is to think less and to feel more. And to feel more is to go into our hearts. This is one of the tools, one of the six tools I present in the book for shifting from fear to love. Because the heart is kind of a, and it's already proven, I mean, there are scientific researches that show that the energy field of our heart is actually the bigger in our body. And Greg Braden talks about the intelligence of the heart, and actually the heart is our inner compass. There are things that we know that we don't know that we know that are just true and that are there, and the moment we go into our heart, then our life changes. We can make the right decision, because the mind will always give you reasons to do this, but to do that as well. You'll never have peace of mind when you follow your mind. To have the peace of mind, you need to go into your heart. That's where you find the answer.
I like that.
She was just talking about how your energy levels can your love levels, energy, you know, your love vibrations can change people around you. And while she was saying it, I was thinking about a particular person that we see on a regular basis, and I'm finally seeing what she's talking about, how my, you know, how we dwar or how we feel about everyone, and I think it's changing that person, and I see how they changing daily.
And you know, one more thing is that the people who push our buttons, it's time we take our power back. The moment we blame other people, then, you know, we kind of let go of our power. And we empower them to play with our feelings, with our state of mind. Hmm. Usually the people who come into our life and push our buttons, they are there to show us something about ourselves. They are our teacher. So teachers, they show us a wound that we need to heal or something that we don't accept in our being. Like if somebody comes across and say, oh, you are selfish, and then you feel hurt about that, then it means that somewhere deep down inside your heart you feel that you are selfish. But maybe, you know, selfish is not necessarily something bad. I mean, there is always something good in every evil or in every bad thing. So Debbie Ford was used to talk about that in one of her books, and she was talking about the shadow. That those are the things we tend to, you know, hide under the rug because we don't want to acknowledge them in ourselves. So to love ourselves, we need to bring those things to light and to accept them and to see what's good about some of them and to have the power to change what we feel we need to change.
Oh, wow. Very interesting.
That's deep.
Yeah.
I hope it's not too deep for Valentine's Day.
No, this is perfect. Perfect. That is very, yeah. If books are like, I need to read this book, yeah.
Well, yeah. I have one copy for you, and Thank you. Course, yeah.
So I learn how to learn more love, give more love.
I don't know what happened to Facebook Live, but I think it sucks now. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's like, what the hell happened now? I can't do Facebook Live? You son of a bitch.
Oh, that sucks.
What the hell? That's what I'm saying. Like, that never happened before. It's like you know, when a guy can't get it up. That's never happened. That's never happened to me before. I don't know what's the problem.
That's a whole different kind of love.
He self-loved too much. That's what I can't get it up. I self-love too much.
Too much self-love.
Anyway, sorry. I'm a sick woman. Don't mind me. Everybody's all, oh my God, happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. Jesus, shut up. I said for me, it's a Valentine's Day every day.
Yeah.
Because I love what I do for a living. I have finally come to a point where I actually love myself. I don't have any issues like that anymore. And obviously, I love my friends, family, husband, and, you know, everybody around me. So I don't try not to hate on anybody. I just remove myself from the situation. If somebody's, like, getting all on my nerves or something, I just leave. So that way I don't have those issues like that. What are you going to say?
No, I was just saying just that you got the friends that you love because you're giving off those good vibrations.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've been getting rid of people.
Yeah.
I've been getting rid of people. I literally got rid of a person last year on the air.
Really?
I was friends with her for 5 years. best friends with her.
Dang.
Business partner and co-host of a radio show for 4 years. And I walked away.
Yeah.
Because when people are that toxic and you've known them that long and you've been in a relationship, business partnership, whatever, with that person for that long and nothing is ever getting any better, nothing has changed, you're changing but they're not, you're progressing but they're not, your mindset has changed but theirs hasn't.
Yeah.
They want to keep doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, like drugs, alcohol, and other things, getting involved with people they shouldn't get, you know, just a lot of things. And so at that point, you're just like, crap, what do I do? I mean, if they're treating you like crap all the time, going off on you constantly, flipping out on you, making everything, oh, it's all your fault, it's all, you know, Jesus, am I in an abusive relationship or is this a friendship? I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Did I just walk into La La Land, or is there some problem going on here? An alternate universe? I mean, you know what I mean? I wouldn't even take that from a fucking relationship.
Right.
A dude going off on me? Look, you know what I mean? Like, you cross the line one too many times, and when a bitch slaps you during physically slapped me.
Whoa.
During a radio broadcast.
I didn't know that.
Whoa.
The air was off, like the music was playing. So nobody heard it or saw it or anything, but still.
That's uncalled.
The point is.
No, under no circumstances.
You slapped me across the face, and so.
Did you hit her back?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yes, I did.
She's still alive?
I only slapped her with a quarter of my, not even a quarter, a tenth of my strength.
Yeah.
A tenth.
I know.
I barely.
What you probably and, dumped her.
And then she slapped me back with both hands.
Whoa.
Oh, no. She did it. She
went, bam. I didn't feel a fucking thing. It was like, what? Is this a fly swatter?
Tickling me.
Please, 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 please. I've been hit harder at a BDSM club. You'd be fucking all right, asshole. You gotta do better than that. 3 hours later, she was like, my face still hurts. My face hurts. I said, I didn't feel a fucking thing. I don't know what your problem is. I felt nothing. Anyway, this is my point. My point, though, is that you can take so much from a person And no matter how much you love them, it doesn't mean that that person is good for you.
No.
Or was meant to be in your life forever.
Right.
And it really sucks sometimes. But sometimes in order for you to find your, you know, to actually love yourself and to find love with someone else and to move on and progress as a person, you have to leave certain people behind in the dust.
Absolutely.
Because they're toxic for you and they're only going to bring you down into the muck with them. And do you really want to go there? If you literally love yourself and you really want to progress as a human being, then you're not going to keep those people with you. Mm-hmm. So some people, I've this last year has been, I said 2017, when New Year's Eve hit January 2017, I was just like, okay, this is a year where I've got to change some stuff or else nothing's ever going to happen for me. I'm, you know, I was about to be 44 years old. I'm like, I can't do this forever. Like, holy crap, my kids are adults now, you know, or about to be adults, or I can't keep doing this to myself. I said, at what point do I love myself and show myself love and stop taking crap from others and stop letting other people treat me like garbage? Stop being a doormat, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't love yourself and you keep letting people use you and are a doormat, then you're never gonna really, how do you really love yourself?
No, loving yourself doesn't mean that you have to be in abusive relationships or not setting boundaries.
Yeah.
But, you know, just allowing other people to be who they are and, you know, believe that they do the best they can at that moment.
You don't necessarily have to be around them.
But, you don't have to be around them.
Because I let some people go, too, last year.
Yeah, I tend to cut them completely out of my life, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I might go see how they're doing once every 18 months or so.
No, sir, when I cut someone out like that, that's it. They're done. I'm not coming back. I've given you enough chances to change what you're doing, and you still... I've progressed, but you haven't. In 5 years, if I've progressed quite a bit, but you haven't progressed at all, then there's a problem here.
Yeah.
You're still doing what you're doing and you haven't changed anything, then I don't know what to do at this point. So I just said, well, that was the end of that. You know, the straw finally broke the camel's back and that was the end of that. So I was like, I'm over. But that's what I'm saying. You just can't be in those things where in order for me to move on, I had to let certain things go.
Right.
So this whole last year or so has been just...
transitional.
It's been cleaning house.
Right.
Getting ready for all the stuff. Like, and I hate to say that, even jobs that were holding me back.
Right.
From realizing my full potential. Mm-hmm. No matter how much I love those people, which I really love, and they were always good to me, and I have no problems in that department ever. They were wonderful to me, and they for 20 years or something. So I can't say anything bad about that, and I love them very much. But it was time to move on. So sometimes you have to leave things behind to move forward.
Right.
And it was just like showing myself that I actually love myself and respect myself. That I wasn't going to keep taking crap from a job that didn't deserve me.
Right.
From friends that didn't deserve me. Family that don't deserve you. Keep pushing.
Right. Good.
Yeah, I think it is important for every one of us to realize that actually each one of us deserves the best in life. Because when you don't believe that you deserve the best, you're not going to get the best. And you're not going to act accordingly.
That's true. That's true. Very, very true. I mean, I can't say I've always been the best friend or the best person on the planet. I mean, I've always tried my best, but like it's like with anybody. But if you don't move forward and really sit there and kind of self-analyze, I guess, like self-reflect, like say, hey, what am I doing wrong here? What can I be doing better?
Andrea, how long did it take for you to write the book?
Yes.
Well, actually, it took me 1 month.
Really?
Wow. Yes, I started.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, because I felt really I'm a fiction author actually. Wonderful. So I started writing fiction when I was 8 years old. But then I just had and I thought, "Oh, you know, there are all these great spiritual teachers and you know, all the books have been written and then I just felt that I needed to write this one." So I started.
That's amazing.
It was beginning of December 2015. Mm-hmm. And then on Christmas Day, I wrote. I remember I sat down at my desk and I wrote a couple of pages. And beginning of 2016, it was the first draft. It was already completed.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, I see that you've written fiction and nonfiction.
Yes. Yes.
And so how many books do you have out? Like,
well, so far I have 2 books out. The first one is a collection of short stories.
Okay.
The name is Four Doors and Other Stories. That's traditionally published with a publisher in the UK.
Oh, nice.
But with this one, I said, okay, I want to, you know, dive into self-publishing, see how it goes.
Okay.
Because I like the idea of being the master of your fate and of your project, and
that's cool. I like that,
doing things as you want to do them. And I think that for authors who have this entrepreneurial mindset as well, or who realize the importance of working with a publicist like Desiree to get the word out for their book, self-publishing is a great avenue.
I've been looking into that avenue myself.
Yeah.
For a few books that I was going to write.
Please do.
Self-publishing would be pretty cool. I mean, I've been looking into it. I went to that publish a book and grow rich thing. I have to say.
Working?
They gave me a good formula.
Did they?
I mean, for the book, like how to structure it.
You were
and
telling
everything.
Me about that, how you came up with a bunch of ideas.
It's a really good thing to do. It's just, at the end of the day, when they want, they do give you options. They say you either just self-publish or publish with them, and it's not cheap. Mm-hmm. But they have a team of frickin' people that work for you to help you write the book, to help you publish it, to help you everything. They're their own publisher, actually. They're an actual publishing company, Black Card Books. So, but you know what I mean? Things like that. But I was looking into self-publishing. They wanted goddamn like $40,000.
No.
Wow.
They wanted a lot of money. I was like, no. I'm a radio show host already, and I have access to, publicists.
You have your platform already.
I have access to many publicists. Between you, Dilly Briggs, and Sasha George from the Subject Press, like I got a team already.
You've got
it. I pay you guys instead of going to some Yahoos I don't know.
No. And then your cookie cutter too, because that's what they'll do is make you into a formula. Top 5 reasons to do X, Y, Z.
That's what they did. That's what they were all talking about, all that stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if I like all that.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be like a self-help book or some stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. So I see that you've won some awards.
Yeah, well, when I back in I was born in Bucharest, Romania. Actually, that's my place of birth.
We like it.
It's a nice place, with nice people, safe country. Still has a lot to go forward, but it's okay. And I competed into literary contests back there, and I won some awards.
That's cool. Oh, yeah. I like that. I like it a lot.
Very nice.
I like it. It's very nice. But you know what's even more nice? Let's hear from one of our sponsors.
We have sponsors?
Introducing LA's best kept secret, all original commercial pop rock group, Soul Rising. They would like to invite you to 3 upcoming LA performance dates. They have a private music industry showcase, free admission, on Wednesday, February 28th at 9 p.m. at the Cascade Studios, 6611 Santa Monica Boulevard, showcase room G in Hollywood. That's just east of Highland. Soul Rising will also be opening for Adrian Marcel at the Mint Friday, March 2nd at 8:30 p.m. at 6010 West Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles. They will also be opening for Wyclef Jean Saturday, March 24th at the Regent Theater in downtown Los Angeles. Contact Mike McBay at 213-915-2274 for free tickets or go to Facebook at Soul Rising or Instagram at Soul Rising Band. The band is made up of 7 band members with 3 female singers, 1 lead, and 2 harmony. Soul Rising is a Southern California-based all-original pop rock band that has played over 100 shows. They have opened for artists such as Macy Gray, Smokey Robinson, Maxi Priest, The Motels, Missing Persons, B.B. King, Lou Gramm of Foreigner, and many others. Soul Rising has a quick changeover, set up, and breakdown. They put on an exciting, extremely energetic live performance with catchy songs, excellent vocal harmonies, and very strong instrumental power behind it. They can also make the crowd dance. You won't go wrong with this act as your show opener. Contact Mike McBay at drmcm@gmail.com or just give him a call at 213-915-2274.
Elvay Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
This is Aunt Rose Goldfarb, and I'm on the bus to the casino. You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block on LA Talk Radio, Channel 1, and iHeart Radio. Oh, Lord. Hey, this is Aunt Rose Goldfarb, and I'm on my way to the casino. I got my bottle of whiskey and my pack of Luckies, so I think I'm good. I'm gonna get lucky today. I can feel it. Anyway, you're listening to my niece Jenny's Real Talk on the Block on LA Talk Radio, Channel 1, and iHeart Radio. All right. Hope you get lucky, too.
Sorry.
I hope you get that lucky, was, too.
That was my Aunt Rose from Atlantic City. She's a crazy bitch.
I like her.
She's a crazy bitch. She was on the street in Atlantic City the other day asking people what they thought of the new president.
Oh.
We didn't get that many good responses. So
flipped off a lot.
Got flipped off a lot. And we got the people kept saying, fuck Donald Trump. Fuck Donald Trump. I was like, oh, damn, okay. This is not good. So, yeah, that was a consensus of opinion. Mm-hmm. So, where have you been touring with this book? Have you been doing any, book tours, book anything?
Well, I plan on doing more this year. And because last year I traveled a lot and I've done other things related to self-publishing. I won't go into that. And I also created two workshops, women workshops. Women are my main audience.
Okay.
Because actually I think men, women, they are mothers, they are creators, so they turn a house into a home and they right. teach men love. So I think it's very important for women to be loving and to spread the love. So that's why I want to work with them in my workshops. So one of them is related to finding your life purpose, and the other one is about tapping into your feminine power, divine feminine, and into attracting more love into your life.
I like it.
I like that very much. That's good. I don't know. Are you planning on doing any tours like this year, or any? Are you planning on going anywhere like, you know, to pump, you know, pump up the book? No.
yeah, of course, but it's still a work in progress.
Okay.
And I'll spread the word.
No schedule yet.
Yeah.
But
just let me know.
Yeah.
Let me know, yes. And then we'll tell our listeners
on
future shows about your.
Thank you so much.
Your tour
you
around the world.
You will be at the upcoming Genre LA Writers Conference, right?
Yes.
I'll be there, and I know you're going to
we'll
be there.
We'll both be there.
Don't forget to announce that. That's for Saturday, right?
That is
next.
Oh, I got so much going on. So this Saturday, the Alliance for Women in Media.
Oh yes,
I chair their advisory board. I used to serve on their board of directors. So it's not my event; it's their event.
Right.
But it's happening at CBS on Radford,
right.
And it's a discussion about you'd like this how to turn your book. How to adapt it into film or television. So that's really cool. But you know what?
Cool.
I can plug it, but guess what? It's filled up. No more room.
Yeah, that's
They filled it up already.
That's okay.
Yeah.
We'll live.
But then the weekend after that is the Genre LA Writers Convention put on by the Greater Los Angeles Writers Society.
Yes.
It's WC2. I think it's WC2.com, I think is the website.
Yes.
And that's really cool, whether you're a novelist, a writer, a screenwriter. I highly recommend this. This conference not only will have panels and workshops with people like Andrea, but it also has agents there, literary agents that you can actually set up a pitch session with.
Really?
And editors there as well. So if you're a writer and you're wondering how good your work is, you can attend the conference, go to the workshops. We're actually, Black Chateau is sponsoring the keynote luncheon on Saturday.
Nice.
We've got a huge lineup of authors and writers talking about, basically, it's a brave new world for women in dystopian and genre fiction, basically talking about how women's fiction is taking over. You know, you have shows, movies like Wonder Woman and shows like The Handmaid's Tale, how that those topics, especially now with, you know, the Me Too movement and all of that, is kind of bubbling to the surface. Mm. So that panel has Christina Sigala. She's the author of XX versus XY, which is about men versus women. We have Deborah M. Pratt. She was the executive producer for Quantum Leap, the TV show.
Yeah.
She's got a series called The Vision Quest. You remember Sean Patrick Traver? He's going to be on there because he writes a lot of female protagonists.
Yes, he does.
So we got a great lineup for that. So again, that's the Greater Los Angeles Writers Society putting on Genre LA, and that's in 2 weeks. At Valley College here in Los Angeles.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. You guys should really come. I know that you have talked about screenwriting and adapting things.
Because I have a lot of ideas. I just haven't, like, put them out on paper like that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for the TV show and the movies, the things that I have, the ideas I have, I just need to be put out.
And I have an invitation for you, because last year I started working on I want to create a documentary about love. Because I think love is one of the most misunderstood words in this world. That's why people, they say true love or unconditional love. It's love. I mean, you don't have to put
love
any...
Love is love.
Love
why
is love.
A label?
It's unconditional. Yeah. It's true. It's compassionate. It is in so many ways. So I started working with my friend Sean Michael on this documentary. And since you all are familiar with love and you know self-love, I would love to have you on board.
Oh, that would be
interview
awesome.
You. Yeah, yeah. And,
I'm down for that.
Yeah, and talk about love. And there is always my book until the workshops come up and the
right.
schedule comes up.
Yes.
So my book is on available on Amazon. My pen name is actually A.G. Bilic. And also on YouTube, there is a vlog, The Project of Love, where I interview spiritual teachers and healers and authors and people
I like
who
it.
Know about love. So I talked to Bernard Hiller from Los Angeles and Jerry Sargent. He's pretty big in Europe, and he's now having some workshops in Los Angeles area too. So, that's the first step. And I hope people will... I hope you, the listeners, will really use this book to bring more love into their life. Not only for Valentine's Day, but as you said, Jennifer, like every day I think can be Valentine's Day. Definitely.
Yes. Well, I mean, especially if you have somebody, the right person for you, which is always nice if you can find that. But it took me till I was 43 to find that. All right. Well, we've had today. Thank you so much. We've had A.G. Billig, Andrea Billig, but you can find her as A.G. Billig. Her book is I Choose Love, A Journey from Fear to Love. And thank you guys so much for being on the show today. We had Desiree Duffy from Black Chateau Enterprises with us today. And we always thank her for bringing us great authors.
All the time.
And next week on Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio Channel 1, iHeartRadio, will be the heavy metal band Slant.
Hmm.
As well as, we're going to have a two-parter next week. It's a special two-hour show on February 21st. It'll be, the first hour will be Slant, like I said, from 3 to 4 p.m., and then the second hour will be Soul Rising from 4 to 5 p.m. So check us out. Like we said, we're on every Wednesday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This next week on the 21st of February, like I said, there will be a special two-hour episode with Slant and Soul Rising. So a little bit of a different thing going on there. We got a heavy metal band and a commercial pop band, soul pop band. I always love doing that stuff. Mashups. Mashables. Anyway. maybe we'll get Kabobbles and Mashables to be our sponsor. No, I'm just kidding. That'd be cool. No. WWE? No, I'm just kidding. Anybody else? Give us a call at 818-406-1742. That's 818-406-1742. If you would also like to do advertising on our radio show, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, we'll also feature you on our website page with your own little section. You'll be on all of our social media sites, and we will feature your music if you're a band or artist or musician, or your books if you're an author, or whatever you may be, whether it's a publicist or whatever. We can talk about your projects and your music or your whatever you have going on with us. Just give us a call. Like I said, 818-406-1742. Get Real Global Entertainment is here to serve all of your entertainment needs, and our world always leans to the left. We are going to leave you that with that lovely thought.
Yeah.
Figure that one out. And if you can't, fuck you. We're out. We'll see you next week, like I said, on Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. Have a great one. We'll be back next Wednesday on February 21st.
Bye. Gotta go.
Bye.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.